Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Happy holidays. I'm Mark Bayshore. At the end of each month, we check in with Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson. Today, we'll be looking back at the biggest environmental stories from around the basin in 2014 for a Great Lakes year in review. Those stories include the water crisis in Toledo, the debate over the safety of the Enbridge pipelines at the Straits of Mackinac, and the future of funding for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Here to give us his take, Gary Wilson. Welcome back to Current State, Gary.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Good to be with you again.
Let's start with what was arguably the biggest Great Lakes story of the year, the shutdown of Toledo's water system because of toxic algae blooms this past August. How has that event changed the conversation around water quality and specifically farming practices here in the Great Lakes?
Sure, Mark. And you really got that right on the intro. It's by far the biggest story that affected the Great Lakes and the region this year. I happened to look at my social media hits on stories I wrote for Great Lakes Echo throughout the course of the year. And my commentaries about the Toledo water crisis dwarfed everything else by a wide margin.
Mm.
What's happened? Well, it certainly changed the conversation. People are focusing on it. Government officials have paid a lot of attention to it. But the reality is not a whole lot has changed. There has been, you know, some legislation introduced in Ohio to help keep manure off the fields when they're frozen, which is one of the big contributors. Unfortunately, it failed to pass through the Ohio legislature in this session that just recently ended. US EPA, who has oversight responsibility for the issue, has said a lot. Unfortunately, they haven't done a whole lot. They continue to throw money at the issue, which is welcomed by people. But this is really a regulatory issue, and there just hasn't been much happening there.
Tell us what needs to happen, though. Does what needs to happen involve farming practices? Does it involve manure? Does it involve phosphorus on fields, that kind of thing?
Exactly. It really, the biggest culprit right now are the farming practices, and the farming communities in Ohio, Michigan, everywhere, for that matter, are very powerful. And they're working diligently to convince legislators, those that would have to implement regulations, that they're on top of this. They're implementing best practices to prevent a reoccurrence. The problem with that argument is that there's no evidence anywhere that best practices will ever fix the runoff of fertilizer into the waterways, Chesapeake Bay being the best example. They've been battling that problem for decades. So this issue will continue to play out in 2015. There'll be the usual legislative to and fro, and we'll have to see if anything substantive happens. And before you know it, the algae season will be upon us again.
Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson is our guest for our Great Lakes Year in Review. Another issue that got a lot of attention here in Michigan this year was the Enbridge pipelines that run underneath the Straits of Mackinac. A study from the University of Michigan found an oil spill in that area that could have been disastrous. What happened?
Well, the University of Michigan study that there were a number of groups trying to put a spotlight on this issue, and justifiably so, but the University of Michigan study indicated that it would just a spill under the Straits would just wreak havoc. The currents there are unpredictable. Nobody is really sure where the water would go, but the study revealed that there would be a widespread impact. So this issue has been in the spotlight, and it's going to continue to be in the spotlight. Environmental groups are latched on to it, and they're not going to let go.
This was a hypothetical scenario, though, that was posed in the U of M study, correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What kinds of concerns do environmentalists, what have they raised? What kinds of concerns have they raised about those pipelines?
Well, it's real simple. Under the Straits of Mackinac, in their ideal world, Mark, they would like the pipeline to be shut down and disassembled. But they're realists. They know that that's not going to happen. So they have one relatively simple demand. and that is for Enbridge to develop a plan to replace the pipeline. The pipeline is over 60 years old. The infrastructure does not do better as time passes. So the pragmatists in them said, okay, we understand that the pipeline needs to be there, but develop a plan to replace it. And so far, that argument has fallen on deaf ears.
What, do you expect that conversation to continue into 2015?
I do. I do. Governor Snyder has a task force that's focused on the issue. As I said, it's a big issue with the environmental groups. And oil transport in general has a spotlight on it. You know, there have been a number of accidents. Enbridge, of course, in Michigan, and the rail car tragedy in Quebec. So I don't see this issue going away anytime soon, and there needs to be a spotlight on it.
Let's talk just a little bit more about the Michigan Petroleum Pipeline Task Force. Governor Snyder did assemble that and form that this past summer. What have they taken any real substantive action so far? Have they suggested what their focus is going to be in the future?
I don't think they've taken any substantive action, Mark, and I don't know that they can. I give the governor credit for forming this task force, but the real authority over pipelines rests with the federal government. Their mission, the Michigan's commission, is a little bit vague, but basically they're out in the field expressing concerns. They're looking to make sure that permits are properly in place, and they're also spending a lot of time looking at preparedness. If there is a major spill or leak, you know, our communities prepared? Is the Coast Guard prepared? Those types of things. I don't want to say that their mission is symbolic, but they don't have a whole lot of authority. Mm. But it's good that they're out there.
The U of M study that we referred to a minute ago, Gary, was a hypothetical scenario. But just about a week ago, the company did confirm there was a pinhole-sized leak in one of the lines that runs through the straits. What happened there?
Well, they did find what people were calling a leak. Enbridge has said it wasn't a leak. It was a, quote, defect that they found on inspection, and it was a little bit of leakage, I'll use that word, around a weld. They said they found it on a scheduled inspection. So they're downplaying the issue, as you would expect them to do. The task force, the Michigan task force, they engaged on the issue, and they put out a release that said that it was their job to make sure that there was no environmental damage, and if there was, that it would be addressed. So they're aware of it, and they're doing what they can.
I imagine the environmental community has taken note of that, though. What have they had to say?
You're right about that, Mark. The press stories from around the region, you know, the environmental groups are saying this is just, you know, one more warning sign that needs to be heeded, that there needs to be a more long-range plan. Pipelines will fail, and the sooner that we come to grips with that, and especially with that Straits of Mackinac pipeline, to develop a plan to replace it, the better off everybody will be. As I've said, they're latched on to this, and they won't let go.
Great Lakes journalist Gary Wilson is our guest. It's our 2014 Great Lakes Year in Review on WKAR's Current State. In other recent news, Gary, a measure that would have authorized funding for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative for the next 5 years failed to pass the Senate during lame duck. Funding for the initiative has usually been seen as a bipartisan issue. What's going on there?
Boy, you're right, Mark. Funding in recent years for Great Lakes Restoration has kind of breezed through the Congress, and it has been bipartisan. But at the last minute, legislation that had been passed easily in the House, and it was before the Senate, just as the Senate was about to shut down, and a senator, or possibly two, put what's called an anonymous hold on the legislation. Senators are authorized to do that. If they see something they don't like or if they have questions about a piece of legislation, they can put it on hold. And one or two of them did. What that meant, though, at the time was the Senate was just about to adjourn, so the legislation did not get passed, and now it has to be reintroduced next year in the next Congress. And that's when the Republicans will control both houses. So that was a bit of a surprise.
How do you expect this to go anywhere with the Republicans enjoying a majority in the Senate now?
I'm not sure. I contacted Senator Mark Kirk's office here in Illinois. Senator Kirk is one of the chairs of the Great Lakes Task Force. They are charged with promoting Great Lakes legislation and the well-being of the Great Lakes. A spokesman for Senator Kirk, she really played her cards close to the vest. She didn't want to speculate on why the hold was put on. She just assured me that Senator Kirk would reintroduce the legislation in 2015, and I pressed her for more information, and she didn't want to go there. She said she just wanted to leave it at that.
We'll keep an eye on it. We've got to let it go at that. We want to thank Gary Wilson, a Great Lakes journalist and commentator. Gary, thanks for your time. Happy holidays.
Same to you, Mark. Always good to be with you.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.